Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast.
Capacity, you are, it is better now.
Yes, now it is. There is, how do you say it? It's, the air is quiet. There was a blast of wind, more than 100 kilometer per hour, nonstop, days and night.
Wow.
And yes, and we close, people close like windows and how do you say, those blinds. But the wind was so strong that it moved through the house.
Yes.
The wind. Yes, like in the movie, if you have seen the Wizard of Oz, he always had a little opening for this. The storm was moving through the house. It doesn't matter what we did. It just, there was a great sound. The waves were very, very high, very, very high. And it covered part of the shore.
Wow.
The water managed to arrive to the promenade. Yes, and how do you say, our flights were canceled. It was, they say, the how do you say, people from the weather report, they say this is unusual that this area gets such a front and such strong wind for so long time that even objects were flying in the air.
These events has been happening around here as well, you know.
Yes.
Many times we had last year things like this in the office where I work. It's interesting because it's a high building, and we have like a shutter, but the shutter is inside, you know, like, I don't know how to say it. It is not to the outside, it's to the inside, let's say, area. It stays in between the windows, like to give privacy to people. And it starts to tremble, to beat against the window. And I just to share one event. So the building was shaking. It was not an earthquake. It was only the wind. And I went to the office, let's say, of my colleague, to the room that my colleague works, and he was with his feet above the table, let's say, on the table, and I found that quite strange, you know, what he's doing. And I enter his room and asked, what is going on? You know, you feel so relaxed. Are you not scared with the wind? And he said, really, is the wind? I thought that I was having a heart attack, and I was calling here. He was really thinking that he was having a heart attack because he lost the sense of the space, you know, because of the trembling. And he thought he was having a heart attack. So it was funny at the time, but it is crazy. And 72 hours is beyond what we passed through here. It is I don't know how to support 72 hours of hard wind. So take care.
At some point, 48 hours we did not leave the house, but at some point after 48 hours with a strong wind, we just went out to bring a few things, like, but the wind was such a thing. It just, it could carry people with it. It's really, it's amazing, amazing. And in the Hermon Mountain, this is a high mountain, more than 2,000 meters above the sea level. There was a strain, I have to say, very, very great snowstorm. And how do you say, the snow is just covering in many meters there. But it's so beautiful because the storm carries with it a seed of frost air, like frozy, very frozy weather. So when it's like deliverance, yes, it sounds weird, but it is like this storm, 72 hours non-stop wind. But through the storm, there's a little baby, which is unseen, but it's felt. There is a seed of frost air, which is now, this is the gift of the storm, frozen air. And the air is very thin and crystal and clear and quiet. It's in the air. Yes. There was today, first time this week, the sunrise, we could see the red color of the sunrise, red rose, like coming from the east, because it was so stormy that we could not see, only clouds. It was amazing. And now there's a great peace. They say that the eye of the storm is the most quiet place. So the storm left its infinite source with peace. It's so beautiful and quiet, quiet, finally quiet. Any questions or sharing that you would like to share, please feel free to ask, to share anything. Fernando, have you read anything lately? Would you like to share anything?
Yes, I think that I can bring up a question, maybe, that is about the Shovavim. Yesterday we were talking about this, you know.
Yes.
And I was wondering, you know, like the plagues and all these ideas, and I remembered a beautiful chapter from that book that you mentioned once, the Curse of Miracles, which speaks that you cannot correct something from the ego, you cannot correct ego from the ego, you know, ego mind from the ego mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this, you know, we have this story, it's a lore about the Pharaoh, that he was always trying to correct things with more power from ego to the ego, you know. And now, as in one hand, I was thinking about this, that is quite, you know, it can be illustrated in a beautiful way, but I was also thinking, in the other hand, about the concept of tikkun. That usually we think about tikkun as, you know, if we take an orthodox view, point of view, you can think, oh, I need to do this and that, and to perform a mitzvot, and so on and so forth. And this is the ego trap, you know, because it's not about this. The action happens, right? You just need to be open. So you do not have to seek the good deed, let's say. So Eti, I don't know, what do you think about this topic? And about this Shovavim as well. If you could share some thoughts, I will be glad.
Thank you, Fernando, for the question. Shovavim is abbreviation of six weekly portions, which are coming one after the other. Those are the six weekly portions of the Book of Exodus. Shovavim is abbreviation of Shmot, Vayere, Bo, Beshalach, Yitro, Mishpatim. So let's write them here, Shmot. Let's write it here in Hebrew. Let's change it here. Shmot, Vayere, Vayera, Bo, Beshalach, יתרו, אין משפטי. Those are the six weekly portions, which are coming one after the other. So the question is, Fernando, what is Shovavim? What is Shovavim, the word?
The question, I'm sorry, I shared just some random thoughts. You know, we have the plagues in Egypt and we have the Exodus, right? So from this episode, we have like the Exodus. And the Exodus, we have the Shovavim, this journey through the desert, right? All these portions about this. And we have this process of tikkun, you know, like the separation from the Egypt mind, from the all that we bring from this material realm to enter in the promised land, right?
Yes.
So I was thinking, in one hand, from the I'm sorry that I put many many thoughts from this leaving the Egypt. From living this ego mind that is portrayed as the Pharaoh, you know.
Yes.
But also this tikkun that we seek, let's say, somehow, we cannot make it through the ego mind. We cannot do it through the ego mind, like people seeks to make to do some mitzvot. Some people, you know, thinks that it's just like taking a medal. You know, if I perform all the mitzvot, so I will enter in the promised land, or so, or you know. So I was thinking about this journey through the desert, where the people of Israel had to take the camp or leave the camp according to what comes from the sky, you know, what comes from the higher. And that is not from what they wishes, but from what comes from the higher, you know.
Yes, yes.
This was the thought. So what do you think about this journey, about this tikkun, about this Shovavim?
Shovavim is only an abbreviation that helps us to remember the orders of the weekly portions. So it's like notarikon that helps us to remember the six weekly portions of the Book of Exodus, Sefer Shmot. But Shovavim also means in Hebrew children that are playing and they're making all kinds of tricks and they hope that nobody will catch them and nobody will see them. I don't know how to say this in English, but Shovav is a kid that makes all kinds of tricks and he laughs, but nobody will see me. No. I was just joking or so. So this is one, you can look at it as poetically, Yamim Shovavim. But regarding what you were saying about the course of miracles, self cannot get out of self. Or the thoughts, the mechanical thoughts, we cannot decide mechanically, leave, like you say, putting a new hat of mitzvot or orthodox or coming to repent. Yes? And this is what spiritual seekers are doing.
If we open
the text, what you're saying, yes, Fernando. If this is what you mean, you are implying
exactly. And many people during these six lectures, during these six portions, correct me if I am wrong, Eti, please. But during these six portions, people fast and pray and trying to perform mitzvot. You know, it's a process of tikkun. I once read like a tikkun shovavim. It is, it's a period of time where people are seeking this tikkun, you know. But to make, let's say the tikkun it's not performed by men, you know. And what I was trying to say is that you just need to be open. It's more a mindset than acting.
Excellent. Yes. Yes. It's a mindset. It's not a mechanical acting. It does not depend on somebody's doing anything or acting out, going 100 kilometers left and right, climbing mountains. Some people washing themselves in snow. Have you heard this? They want to purify themselves.
No, no.
No, didn't you hear? Yanis, did you hear that some people are washing themselves in snow to clean themselves from whatever? Have you heard this?
No.
They want to, yeah. When people are going to this trip, I call it a trip, people are tripping for years all over the place, across worldwide cultures, yes? That one of there are so many ceremonies that some people are taking upon themselves, so to speak, that somebody will forgive them. There's nothing to forgive because we're not the doers. But one of the most common behaviors of people when they ask for repent, they look for repent, is that they want, like what you were saying before, self cannot get out of self. They want to clean themselves, life it's dependent, if it is dependent on them, they want to clean themselves from mistakes, from sin. So what do? They go where snow is, and they undress, like, because it's very, very cold, and they take a, like, snow in their hands, and they rub their skin or they roll with themselves on the snow to purify their sins, so to speak. And they hope that while doing this, whatever they have done or they think that they have done will be forgiven. In Hebrew, they call it meruk avonot, meruk avonot. Lemarek is to shine, like you take a piece of cloth and you make the shoe shine, or you make the copper shine, yes, the bronze, yes, or silver, yes. So this is why people are going in the snow. It's very cold. It's unhealthy, but they think that if they will rub themselves in snow or roll themselves in snow, there will be forgiveness. So people are doing all kinds of things that they will be forgiven. One of them is to go into the snow, but there are many, many other ways to constitute the spiritual seeker.
Maybe it's the reference from Isaiah, right? That God, so turns the sins like scarlet into white as snow. So it is,
yes,
like a quiet. But it,
yes,
is God who made, you know, it's God the doer, let's say. It's not a person, right? So
yes, it's from the source that we see the snow, which is white, and it's also from the source we can see the scarlet, which is red. It's not from us. Picture between the movement from between red and white. Yes, but this is what all those actions and all those ceremonies, they are what do they do? They are enforcing the seeker. Yes, when people are participating in those ceremonies, the ceremony is just enforcing the existence of the seeker or of the sinner, the concept of the sinner. So there is no difference. It might sound weird, but there is no difference between sinner and seeker. Yes, because both of them are implying that there's you in the center. Yes. And you, which is in the center, is a noun. What does it mean? It's a noun. It's a bone, or it is like a statue. Yes. What is so special about let's take those two words, because there is no difference between them, sinner and seeker. What is the difference? Both of them are referring to the fact that in the middle of them, or in the center of them, there's a you, which is doing, yes, in charge of everything. This is what it do. And more than this, it refers to the one who, the seeker, or to the sinner, that he is in charge, that he is the doer. It's very, very interesting. But what do we learn from this? That we are not, yes, Fernando?
Both imply separation, right? Both imply that you believe that you are scattered from the source.
Yes. Like we also have an ability to act on our own merit. Yes. It is. It is very interesting. We are not nouns. What do I mean by nouns? In Hebrew, etzim, like a table. We don't have rigid form. We tend to look in, not when we tend, but once we the eyes are noticing an image in the mirror, the common broadcast is you see your image in the mirror and this is who you are. There's a figure in front of the mirror and there's the reflection, and the what is being sensed is that we are the ones who are our images in the mirror. But it's not. This is one thing, because there's no one who sees, in a way, no figure to be seen. But there is more to it. Because once we see a figure in the mirror or an image in the phone, doesn't matter, there is a form, and the tendency of the eyes and of the brain is to believe that the figure is, and its form, it is an absolute, and it has a life power of its own. This is what happens. People see their like picture somewhere and they say, this is me. This is the form. This, but it's not the form of myself. This is not. It is what the brain is educated to identify with. It's not who we are. This is not our true nature. Our true nature is not in a form. Yes? What Moses tell them after they are receiving the Torah? He says the following verse. Ki lo re'item kol tmuna. He tries to warn, yes? He tries to warn them. Ki lo re'item kol tmuna. You have not seen any image. Don't think that you can perceive any image, because the spirit has no form or image. This is the warning. You are here in the assembly of Mount Sinai. Those are the Ten Commandments, and there's like great explanation of what is happening there, like torches of fire, and so on, and sounds. But he tells them, "Ki lo re'item kol tmuna." Whatever you think that you perceive, you have perceived nothing. why it is impossible to perceive. The spirit has no form. The spirit has no figure. But now you will ask, but when I brush my teeth, I see an image. Okay, but it's not who you are. And people pay a lot of attention of how they look. They inject all kinds of things to look better. They think that are those Roman statues or so. But this is not who we are. So, and you can ask a question, but there's a figure. And this figure, there's thoughts coming through this figure. So what is happening? And I can ask a very parallel question to this. What is moving through your mind, so to speak, 24/7 can be unfolded? The giant's rivers which are flowing through you 24/7. Yes? Yes, Felipe? Can they be folded like blankets? Like great libraries inside? Of course not. So we are not the figures. So we are not the story which is also associated with this figure. We are not the name. We are not nouns. What do I mean by nouns? Like a frozen form. We are not frozen form. If you will go now, there's a great city, ancient Roman city here, Caesarea. Upon Caesar, they gave it a name. They built it. There are beautiful statues from marble, from stone. Still, most of them are standing. 2,000 years old in stone. We are not stones. We are not stones. And sometimes people are thinking to themselves, but it's not, something is happening, and they say, but it's not something which is typical to me. There's like second pondering about what is happening, but they think, it's not typical. I am not typically behaving like that. It doesn't fit me. This is a very, very weird way to see life, because there is no me, there is no form, there isn't any characteristic. Because people think this is what happens. It's not that we're doing it, but this is how it is. That the brain tries to offer us, and we're eating it, some kind of a frame around life. There's a name, there's happening, and something happened. And the brain always offers us a rigid picture, yes, of a character. And when something happens and everything moves, and then there's a second thought after it happens, but it doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit what the narrative the brain feeds us. Therefore, I have to hate myself because it doesn't fit the narrative that I believe about myself, which is, does not exist. So we're not statues. We are not from stones. We don't have any form. But I'm looking in the mirror when I brush my hair. But you're not of a form. It is impossible. The Ten Commandments, they start with the following sentence. You remember? Anochi? Here I am. Here I am. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Here I am. And the second is, do not make any image. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. You will not have a foreign God before me. Before me is not me as myself, but before the source. Nothing can come before the source. So if it's before the source, it means that there are two, the source and what before. So it's impossible. It's not that the Ten Commandments are telling us, if you will not do that, you'll get punishment. It is impossible. We don't have an image. We don't have a form. We don't have any agenda. We don't have history. We are not products. We are not products. No? No. It's very simple. We don't have any image. Therefore, why to worry about self-image? Because people are they have much concern about their personal image or self-image. But we don't have any image. Why to be concerned about it? Why? What we are more, how do you say, the most, close? I'm sorry, the neighbors are renovating here. I don't know if you hear the drilling. I'm not sure that you hear the drilling, but they're drilling. We are like open window. Open window, whatever comes through the open window, there's like fresh wind. Sometimes there's humidity. Sometimes there's rain coming. Yes? Even the window has a form. We don't have a form, but life is coming through us, frameless. What we, or the brain, tries to tell all the time to us that there's a story, and we are missing the story. And only if we're listening to the narration of the brain, we will be happy. This is the condition. Just buy into my story and you'll be happy. The happiness is not to buy to this story. The happiness is not in the narration, because there isn't any. We don't have image. We don't have center. We are not a story. We are not a name. We are not a figure. It's very simple. The beautiful, and I would like to, in a way, to return to Fernando's question about Shmot. In English, it is Exodus, because it comes through the translation that comes from Greek and so on. But the meaning of Shmot in Hebrew is names. Shem, singular, name, Shmot. Why does the second book of Moses is called Names, Shmot? Because in the first verse of Shmot, this is the second word that appears. Ve'ele Shmot. And these are the names, Bnei Israel, Ve'ele Shmot Bnei Israel, and these are the names of the sons of Israel, Haba'im Mitzrayma, which are coming downwards Egypt. This is the first part of the verse, Ve'ele Shmot, and these are the names. In Greek and later in English, they summarize the topic of the second book, which is the Exodus. The main topic is to go out of Egypt. But in Hebrew, Ve'ele Shmot. Ve'ele Shmot, and these are the names. Now, let's look into the singular. Shmot, plural. Shem, singular. Whenever, or let's ask the question, when do we name someone? In what occasion do we name someone, whether it's human or an object? Why do we use names? Why do we use language? It means that already, if there's a name, there's a separation. Do you see the connection between names, Egypt, and the Exodus? Do you see that? If someone has a name, it means there's already a veil of separation. Yes? Ve'ele shmot. Yes. Fernanda, would you like to say something about it?
I was just thinking that that also this book represents the going to the promised land. You know, it is in the process of, so it implies a separation as well. You know, you are not in the promised land. You are not in Egypt, but also you are not. It's like a threshold.
Yes.
And in the, and like you said, this is why it's Shemot, this is why it's name, because with names we are always in the threshold. As long as we hold our name, we are in the threshold. Right? Because.
Right. Therefore, you remember, it's good that you mentioned the threshold. Have you, Martin Heidegger was reading a poem about winter evening, and it is of three verses. And in one of the verses, he quotes another poem, yes? In one of the verses, he say how the wanderer is standing in front of the threshold and he would like to come in. This is a beautiful, it's interesting that you mentioned this poem. I think that there is a, we posted the poem and its English translation. So we read it in Hebrew once and then we have it in German and in English too. As we believe, yes, that we are the name that is registered upon some kind of a paper, the name implies separation. Once someone believes that he is John, and deliberately I don't use the names of the people that participate here, but once John believes that he is John, the name which is, and identify with the name. Yes? It implies a separation, a separated story from the whole life which is going on and happening all the time. Yes, of course, if somebody is walking now and somebody will call John and he will turn his head, there is still, and we cannot prevent it because it's mechanical, the brain will always turn when the name is mentioned. Yes? The body-mind is still identified with the name. It doesn't matter which name. But this is external. Yes? The identification of the brain with the story, with the name, it's mechanical. It's a product. It's external. Our true nature has nothing to do with that. Our true nature, which is revealed in the 10th commandment, in the first commandment, is that I am the source and we are the source. And nothing can come before. Yes, this is the truth. Because we were taught, or we were told that we were born and we have a name. The story about a birth and having a name is a later addition. This is the product of the matrix. This is not who we are. And sadness and depression comes from the association with the product, with the name, with the story, with the mechanical happening. This is what the brain all the time produces. This is what it does. But this is not who we are, and this is the great revelation. Therefore, the sages are saying, again and again, why to start the Torah with Bet, with Bereshit, with duality? Why to start a story with two? The sages ask and offer another beginning. Why the Torah did not start with I am? Yes? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why the Torah does not start with Aleph? With I am? Why to start with Bereshit? Why to start with duality when it's about non-duality? And there's a saying, and there's an answer about it. Who reads the Torah or the text? The one that appears or was told that he was born in space and time, and this is the experience that comes in space and time. So you cannot start with I am. First, you have to offer a story, Bereshit, to negate it, to offer a story of duality, of space and time, to offer the metrics, because this is the Bereshit, is what the baby experience, the birth experience. So from the perspective of birth, this is how it goes. The more you look into it, there is a discovery that we are not the birth. We never have been born. And this is the great revelation that comes through the assembly of Mount Sinai. We are not of the conditions, we are not that are dependent in space and time. But again, it's impossible, yes, to the born story to hear Anochi, I am that, or I am. It's impossible for the body to hear it. So first you have to give to the body or to the story an image that he can accept, and then to negate it. Therefore, the Torah starts with Bet, with duality, and not with Anochi, with the first commandment. Questions, Fernando? Yanis, Felipe? You're most welcome. And there's no one needs to forgive you. You or us, forgive us about anything. There's nothing to forget. We are not the doers. Life are being lived through all of us. Yes? Life is being lived. And with this beautiful message, I would like to thank you for your participation today, Yanis, Fernando, and Felipe. Wishing you all the best and hope to see you soon on Saturday. Have a good season. Take care.
Thank you, Eti. Lehitaot. Thank you, friends. See you soon.
Thank you. See you soon. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov. Thank you.